What will a sporting weekend be without controversy? From Elton Yankees to Mark Boucher, the Proteas being hammered in England, or were they doing it for the Queen, paying their last respect? But that's not how they should have done it. Speaking of the Queen, I mean, we were deprived of the EPL matches over this weekend. That led to some of us, going back to memory lane, going back to our time. They always say, in my time, I had to go back and get my soccer boots and go back to the field and play for my favorite team, the Fat Cats, as we play against Sun International at our Disky Challenge League. As always, I was on the winning side, winning 5-1, that's the Fat Cats. Well, welcome to another episode of Team Spirit with Daniel, a.k.a. Trompies Mutwahai. We start with tennis, the youngest number one, the newly crowned U.S. champion. His name is Carlos Alcaraz. We'll never forget about him. He's a Spaniard at 19 years old. He'll be the youngest number one since, was it Nadal, in way back in 2005. That's about tennis, the US Open. And then again, Max Verstappen is just one victory away from clinching his second successive world championship. Let's see what happens the first weekend of October in Singapore. But I think it's already in the bag. On the local front, we've got Mark Boucher, who has decided to call it a day as the Proteas coach. After that hammering by England in the third and decisive test match, what a way to go out. But anyway, he's not out as yet. He'll only bow out after the T20 World Cup. But let's see what happens between now and then. Well, Elton Yankees. Last weekend we ran a story of his shenanigans in Bombela in the first week of August when the Springboks welcomed the All Blacks in Bombela Stadium, the first test match. We know about what happened in that escapade when he booked a guest house and then did what he did. You know, as the eyes and ears of this world, we must give it to Peter Steyn, who went all the way to Mbombela to uncover what really went down there. And then Springboks taking a swift action by sending him back to South Africa to come and deal with his issue from Argentina. But that is what we're going to have. But for now, welcome Daniel, welcome Trompies, welcome the 12th man.
Thank you. As always, Spirit, thanks for the coffee date. It's always nice to be on this platform with you.
Today is the 14th of September, and I want to talk about number 14. 14 is where Kaizer Chiefs find themselves in. Is this what we expected from Arthur when he took over the reins from Stuart Baxter?
Well, I think, correctly so, even the Chiefs supporters are not happy with where they are at the moment. I mean, when was the last time we see Chiefs winning back-to-back matches? I think where Chiefs find themselves right now, it's all because of inconsistencies. And naturally, this will bring some pressure on Arthur Zwane. And we see some people are calling for Pitso Mosimane to come and take over. So, yeah, really, well, 50-50, surprising, not surprising that the Chiefs find themselves where they are, second from the bottom.
But it looks like for now it's finder. He's still not sure of his starting lineup. But there's something that caught my eye in that game against Marumo Gallants. At the end of the game, I saw his assistant, Dylan Shepherd, tried to shake hands with him. I'm not sure if it's just me or everybody saw that. There was a bit of a snap from Arthur.
Well, to quote Mark Williams, when it's hot in the kitchen, you feel the heat. So, yeah, I think what you saw could be true. And, from my side, I didn't really pick it up the way you did. But Like I said, the man is under pressure and anything is possible at the moment.
Was it too early for him to be given this mammoth job? You know, not everyone can coach Chiefs. Stuart Baxter came second time. He didn't do it. Ernest Middendorp almost did it. But as we know, almost doesn't count. Kevin Hunt failed dismally. Steve Compeller, 5 years, nothing. Can Arthur make it?
Not at the moment. I think pressure is just too much for the within the current setup at Chiefs, starting with the sporting director, Keiza Mutahun Jr., going down to the field, you know, starting with the technical team. Chiefs at the moment, I think they need to go back to the formula that they used when the late Ted Dimitri was in charge back then. Remember, they've never won in a long time when Ted Dimitri took over during his spell some many years ago. So I think at the moment they need maybe an experienced campaigner like that. Hence I'm saying what they need at Chiefs currently is the leadership right across the sections. The technical team, they need a Madala like type of a thinker there to help the young coaches. Also in the field of play, yes, they brought back Kune, but yeah, still the leadership aspect is still what's needed at the Amakhosi camp.
But they do have seasoned campaigners. Look at Sifiso Tlanti, who's back. You spoke of Kune, but the rest are just newbies. I'm not sure what's happening with Matoho. He hasn't been featured so far. I mean, getting rid of the likes of Ramatwe Mphatlele, look at the new centre-back now of Kunika, Ngobo. Like I said, looks like a finder, but I think that's a topic for another day. Let's talk about Orlando Pirates. Do you think when Jose Rivero came here, some of us called him a baluka, we called him because we didn't know him, he's a plumber. So far, what is your take on Pirates' play?
Well, I think the man is living up to his promise, the promise that he made from the beginning that he's not going to deploy anything fancy except to put more emphasis on attacking direct football. And that's what we see, because if you are not attacking, then you don't win games. So for him at the moment, I think the plus for him is that he's winning games. Never mind with whatever margin. What is crucial is that Pirates has been up there, you know, like to start at the top, unlike their rivals, Kaizer Chiefs, who are starting things at the bottom of the pile. So I think so far so good for Jose. And like I said, you even look at their play. It's something that he promised when he took over, that nothing fancy, but what we are going to do, just attack direct football, and he's got the players to do that.
So in terms of playing philosophy, do you think he has already instilled it? Can you see it in Pirates' play?
Yes, for sure. Because remember, one important thing about the coaches and the players, it's understanding from the onset. And I think the man right at the moment, you can see that somehow he's on the same page as his players, because it looks like they really understand what he's trying to do.
One player who surprised us, I know he was under pressure, Zakhele Lepasa, over the weekend against his former side, TS Galaxy, where he introduced himself in that Nedbank Cup final against Kaizer Chiefs, scoring, I'm not sure if it's a brace or it's 1.5, because people are saying the other one should have been an own goal. But I think it was good to see him breaking his duck and being on a score sheet.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm also happy for Zakhele Lepasa. Remember, at one point he was out for a year with that terrible injury that he sustained a while back. And for someone to come back with such a big bang, it also reminds us of his potential. Because remember, this is the guy who won TX Galaxy, the Nedbank Cup, when he was still there on loan from Orlando Pirates. And obviously, injuries sort of delayed his progress at Pirates, and there were doubts about his future. So yeah, for him to really respond like that, it really bodes well with what we know he's capable of, you know, because Zakhele is that type of a player, an explosive player with also eye for goal. He can score from any angle. We've seen during his time on loan at TS Galaxy. And it takes us back to the question that you asked about the coach's philosophy. So a player like Zakhele Lepasa, I think he fits well into that system.
One club which has not convinced so far, the defending champions, Mamelodi Sundowns, they struggled against Golden Arrows. It took an own goal for them to win a match. Previously, against Chippa United, they scored deep in injury time to get 3 points. The grinding result. What's happening at Sundowns?
You know, sometimes having all those superstars all in one basket, you know, can be good and can also be bad at the same time. I think the Sundowns technical team at the moment, they are a bit overwhelmed with that long list of superstars, you know, the quality that they have on the table. I think that's why also even some other teams have figured out exactly what they are trying to do and, you know, trying to counter the quality that they have with the simplest strategies, you just mentioned the Arrows and, you know, how Sundowns leave it late to win games and, you know, even by sheer luck. If you go back to how TS Galaxy beat them, I mean, with all those superstars on the park, it shows you that they can be beaten and easily so.
Well, now that's enough on the field. Let's go to off the field. A big meeting called by SAFA this weekend. The first NEC meeting since the elections in June. Contentious issue about the VPs. Who do you think will emerge victorious come Saturday?
Yo, it's going to be a tight call on that one. And remember, you know, how they operate at SAFA House. Being the president's right-hand man, you must be his right-hand man in true sense of the word. Remember, like, there's that long history of the fallout with all his former vice presidents because they didn't toe the line. But, you know, the policeman, Modipa, I think he's well on the forefront to be part of that. But, I mean, you'll know better team spirit also within their constitutions. There are some things that needs to be cleared for the likes of Modipa to be really qualified for that seat. And we know now, after what we reported in City Press as well, it doesn't look like things are well between the president and Gladden White, who has always been there as one of the people who was pro the president. But yeah, I think while it's going to be sort of a guess who's really going to occupy those two positions, because since that other remaining position will naturally go to a woman administrator as per their constitution. So yeah, it will be really interesting to see who's going to occupy those slots. But it's going to be really a tight call to make at this point.
We also carried a story about PSL and some of the clubs complaining that they had not been paid their preparatory grant. It's about 5.5. This is the money that they always get ahead of the season to help them prepare for the season. How are they expected to survive if they can't get simple things like this grant to prepare for the season?
Yeah, I think sometimes it's about the PSL itself to do things right in the eye of the public, considering the fact that, remember, people have always been complaining about the business in the PSL, club selling and stuff like that. I think it all goes down to the fact that if teams can afford, they would really close shop, because without the financial assistance, financial muscle, you know, no one can survive out there. So I think it's not good on their part, the league, to take their clubs for granted, if one maybe can put it that way. Because, I mean, we are already, you know, some many games into the new season. The first division has already kicked off. And, you know, you can imagine these people would have needed that money to really prepare, like, you know, your pre-season camp. There's also the buying of players, etc., and some other logistics like traveling and accommodation. So sometimes it doesn't really help the league to do things in secret, while we see in their financial statements at the end of it all how much money they are making, especially from the TV rights. So, yeah, I think they didn't start well by not allocating to the clubs what they deserve to get it going this season.
So as we wrap it from the PSL to the EPL, did you miss the EPL or you were load shedded?
Hey, it's difficult these days because, you know, when everything goes off, when you have load shedding this side, you are also bound to miss sporting action. So, yeah, the Queen, I think, added fuel to fire by, you know, postponing sports this past weekend.
We need more fire to propel our mind. Eskom needs more coal to get us warm in this warm weather. I think that's all we have for today. We'll keep on bringing you all the hits, misses, and predictions from the sporting field. Simply visit our website, citypress.co.za, for more sporting stories and join the conversation on our social media platforms. Oh, by the way, don't forget that Daniel, the 12th man, spoke to one and only Steven Skilo Pinar in an all-round interview in our new podcast offering, Dressing Room Chat. It's out already, so enjoy.